John, we were talking about the role of psychology in all of this, and let's pick it up from there. So what are the colleagues saying about this?
Well, as I was saying, you know, most physicians don't recognize this as a victimization. You know, psychiatrists especially, eventually if you start telling people you're hearing voices of people surveilling you and that you're being attacked with weapons that you can't see, you can surmise that the next step that they're going to have for you is in front of a psychiatrist. The psychiatric community doesn't even bother looking at any of the research that's been coming out in mind science especially. They basically give you a turnkey diagnosis of delusional disorder. The reason for delusional disorder is most of these victims that we're finding, people that are being exposed to this are in between 35 and older. Schizophrenia in males and females usually starts at a fairly early age, so that really puts them out of the age range of getting a schizophrenic diagnosis. However, delusional disorder usually starts in the 40s, and most of these victims are in their 40s or older, so they wind up getting a diagnosis of delusional disorder. By definition, that's believing that non-bizarre events are happening to you. Yeah, you know, usually without hallucinations and without memory loss by definition. Now, the weird thing is, if you look at the CDC and the National Institutes of Mental Health, delusional disorder in our country has about a 0.03% rate of the population. Now, we've got over 1,000 members in Freedom from Covert Surveillance and Harassment. There's a handful of other organizations that have an equal number of membership. You know, if this is delusional disorder, then they've all come together in organizations voicing the same delusion. And to me, that just statistically tells me that there's something else going on besides a mental illness.
If some people try to shield themselves from this, will it work?
Yep, I think we've all seen the tinfoil hat people.
Yeah, you think there's something wrong with them, but they may be the smart ones.
Yeah, well, it's a good attempt, but and that's the bad thing about this technology. There's no escaping it. Nothing shields it. The directed energy weapons, and when I say directed energy, we're talking about, as it was explained to me by a CIA agent, we're talking about particle beam, ultrasound, microwave, and laser. There are some things you can do to shield from that, you know, Mylar, copper screening, there's various things you can do, and a lot of that's online. However, the audio harassment, from what I've seen, there's two forms of it. There's voice to skull, which is the microwave hearing effect, or the Frey effect, which is communications being beamed directly into the head via microwave. And that doesn't work through bone or air conduction in the normal auditory system. It works by thermovestibular expansion. The microwave heats up the workings of the inner ear, you might say, and causes a waveform to go through that you perceive as sound. Now, the other way that people hear the audio harassment is not in the head, but in things that vibrate around them, and that's ELF wave audio harassment, where basically they blanket your home with extremely low-frequency wave. Anything that vibrates, running water, ceiling fans, aquariums, anything with the slightest bit of vibration will finish amplifying that sound in a frequency that's usually specific for the targeted individual to hear. And those people will tell you that, well, it seems like they follow me all around my house and I hear them in every room I go to. Well, that's because the whole house is blanketed with it. Every room you go to, there's going to be something there that will carry sound.
Oh, amazing. How many people are we talking about here? How many victims? I know this is an estimate, for sure.
I've easily probably not talked to personally, but either had emails or heard stories of several thousand in the United States and thousands more globally. So it's a fairly large problem, and that's why I was saying that for each one of these victims to see a psychiatrist in their hometown and be diagnosed as delusional disorder, when the whole syndrome only has a 0.03% in the population, is just not feasible. What would be the chances of every person in that 0.03% of the population that's delusional coming to an organization asking for help with a problem? The statistics don't work it out that way.
So it's easier. Prescribe some drugs and that's it.
Yeah, and that's the other problem is, you know, a lot of these victims have and wound up in the hands of a psychiatrist. They have been put on psychoactive medication, and they're still being attacked, and they're still hearing the voices. I had one victim who actually was didn't talk to him personally, but I read his testimony. He was in training to be a physician, and this started happening to him in residency. It kept him from getting his medical license, and he went as far as having in-house treatment, psychiatric treatment. And his big complaint was, he said, they focused on the fact that I was hearing voices, which he described, you know, hearing what sounded like my neighbors at the window or somebody in the distance, but the conversation was directed at me. And his big complaint was they focused on the hearing of the voices. Not one of the doctors ever asked him, what are the voices saying? And I think that may end up being one of the discriminators that we can use to tell the difference between harassment and mental illness, is when the people that are being harassed, the voices are directed completely to you. They're talking about where you're at and your location of a room. They're using their names back and forth with each other in conversation when they're not watching you. It's a little bit different, a subtle difference from what you hear about in schizophrenics.
Tell me a little bit about the subtitle of your book, A New Breed. You say satellite terrorism in America. What do we mean here?
Well, in talking to the FBI and the CIA people that I know, and some Army and Air Force intelligence people, I basically presented this as a lot of it being satellite-based. Now, I know there are other theories. Some people are claiming that this is all being done by the stalkers themselves with handheld directed energy weapons. I don't buy into that a whole lot, because if you look at the active denial system that shoots microwave for the Army, that's based on a Humvee platform. It's basically a satellite dish on a Humvee. They are working on some handheld equipment that does the same thing, but it's bulky. A lot of the people in Texas especially, you know, we live in big areas in Texas, and a lot of the victims I've spoken with are on, you know, 5, 10, 100 acres. They don't have neighbors directly around them. There's nobody at their window or shooting anything at them through the wall. So that that's one of the reasons that I basically went with what I was told by intelligence people, that, yes, we do currently have the technology to do this to you via satellite. One of the other theories is HARP. And I know you've had Nick Begich, you know, who wrote a great book on HARP. And that's another theory, and that's another probably plausible theory. And I would say it may even end up being a combination of both. But I'm fairly certain what it's not is your neighbor using a microwave oven with a funnel in it that's been converted to a weapon, like you see on a lot of websites.
How do they hone in, John, on the individual? How do they find that person?
Well, that's another area that we're doing some research on. Most people that experience this assume that they have a chip in them. We have scanned people, and I have found chips in people. I have several MRIs at my office that people have sent me that indeed there is something that looks like a very chip-type chip in them. Some people are thinking it may be nanotechnology that's used to do the tracking. A lot of the research is pointing toward EEG recognition. Each person has a different EEG fingerprint, or brain fingerprint, if you will. And by remotely detecting that EEG, you can actually pick George Norrie out of a crowd of 1,000 based on his EEG.